Thanks for tuning in to What It Is on WNCW. I'm Joe Kendrick, joined by new panelist, author, poet, and artist, Barbie Angel, Jay Sanders of Acoustic Syndicate and Creative Allies, also new to the group, and returning panelist, Fred Mills. Today, we're talking about recent news from an Edison research poll talking about how young folks, especially younger demographics, are turning away from radio. Today, we ask the question, is there going to be a death of radio somewhere in the future?
I think it's really interesting we come back to this a lot, the death of radio. When MTV started, that was supposed to be the death of radio.
Oh, and, video, you know, killed the radio star.
You know, yeah. Video killed the radio star, the Buggles. And that was talking about not MTV. I mean, that was just why they used it. But that was talking about when people used to listen to, like, old-time radio shows with the radio serials, dramas acted out and stuff. Guiding Light, things like that. Yeah, it just seems funny to me that we keep coming back to it, and yet radio is still surviving. When they came out with the Walkmans, and you'd start seeing everybody listening to their tapes, and now the iPod. And
iPod killed the radio star.
iPod killed the radio star? It's like a, was it like a ninja star sort of thing?
Yeah, exactly,
you use it
yeah.
as a tiny little weapon? Yeah, it's amazing to me, and personally, I just don't think that it's going to happen because there's this symbiotic relationship between the person that listens to the radio and the person that's playing the songs, your DJ that's playing those songs and listening to what the audience wants to hear. It's like being at a great big party and you're the person that's controlling what the guy, you know, is spinning up there on his little turntable. People
well,
even
that's
know
a
what
recurring,
that is still.
That's a recurring theme on What It Is anyway, is that kind of that audience radio station interaction and how it's so valuable to a lot of listeners out there. They want that human contact. I think that's something you said recently, Joe.
Yeah, I think that's one of the best things about radio is you have that personal contact. It's not like somebody's in the room talking to you, but really, how much time can you spend listening to your own, you know, say, modern version of mixtapes and put things on shuffle or no matter how dynamic and fascinating your mechanism for new music discovery may be, the Rhapsodies, the Pandoras, etc. Sooner or later, you're going to want to get out there and let somebody else sort of hand the ball to you and have more of that personal approach where you might have some genuine surprises. But one of the things that's in this poll that speaks to that says that that's one of the main desires, even of the youngest demographic, is that they want a personality. And so that seems to bode well for radio, although what bodes really poorly is the fact that their listenership is down roughly by half in the last 10 years versus their internet usage, of course, is tripled. So your internet usage for 12 to 24 years old is almost 3 hours a day. Your radio listenership is down to like an hour and 24 minutes, something like that. So that doesn't really say great things for the future, at least as far as it looks right now with that demographic. However, another source that I heard said that the demographics for people 35 and older, the radio listenership is actually up. So where do we go from here?
Well, I had kind of a quip about that earlier. The folks that are in that older demographic will be dead. And what do we do with this younger generation that perhaps is not quite so loyal to radio like the older folks are? Maybe it'll be internet radio that people will turn to. I don't know.
Interesting that we're talking about all this on the radio, right? There's got to be some irony.
Yeah,
no,
well, nobody's listening, so it doesn't matter.
I think one interesting thing there about that statistic that you just said is, I mean, the younger people that you just did not, especially the 12-year-olds, you know, wait till they start driving. I mean, I would venture to guess that the majority of people, and this is just a guess, but listen to the radio in their cars or at work, like in a background setting. You know, I listen to the radio at home myself, some, you know, I don't know how much what the statistics and all that are, but I think that, you know, as people get older, you know, they're driving around more. I think that will probably evolve.
But, you know, I let me just interject this. This presumes that a set of behavior patterns is going to continue as we've grown up knowing it. I thought of an analogy to this. I grew up liking my turntable and getting a very good cartridge and a nice stylus and a big pair of, say, Dynaco or Koss speakers or something. and really valuing, as Joe put it, the Max L Man ad, you know, sitting back in your speaker and being blown in your seat and being blown away by your audio system. But we've got an entire generation that's grown up on earbuds and MP3s, and that is a 180-degree shift in consuming and listening habits. So I think we can't presume that that generation will automatically revert to the way we discovered and fell in love with radio if they've already got a whole set of options in place before they get to that point.
Well, the beautiful thing about radio, though, is that it gives you the opportunity to discover new things. You know, having an iPod's great, but it's limited to what's on it. You know, so you hit shuffle, and whatever your collection is what it is. So you're looking for opportunities mm-hmm. to hear new yeah. things. And you're absolutely right. I mean, there's no telling whether that's what's going to evolve. But I would like to think that, you know, as eventually people would want the desire to discover new things, and that would lead them to what I think one of the key words here is that it's free. You know, you don't have, I mean, you know, satellite radio aside and things like that, but for the most part, it's still on, the FCC still allows it over the airwaves, so you just turn on dial, and there you go. Here's something brand new you've never heard before, or something completely different than what you have right now.
Well, here's another means of music discovery that's free, and that's YouTube, and that is gaining ground among the younger demographic.
Well, that's for sure, yeah. And you can find any song you want on YouTube pretty much now.
Yeah, of course, the video quality isn't all that great. The audio quality isn't necessarily all that great.
Well, a lot of them aren't even videos. People just upload the songs with a graphic of an album cover or something. So it's almost like another form of radio right there.
But all that's I ever maybe get is Rick Astley on there. I don't know what that is.
You get Rickrolled.
Have you been Rickrolled?
Oh, man. Getting never Rickrolled is rude. Yeah.
I think one important thing about the death of radio to me is that it's really important that stations like WNCW continue to exist, where you actually have human beings who are selecting playlists and putting out music that they want to hear, reacting to people. I personally think that the consolidation of the media that happened in the 90s and the commercialization of all of these stations to just digitize playlists that are coming down from some office upstairs is that will kill radio, because nobody wants to listen to that anymore, because unless, you know, you just like the classic rock soundtrack of your life, a lot of people do, and that's great. But
300 songs, baby, that's me. That's it.
Well, okay, I've got a proposal then. Maybe... what's the current buzzword now in technology and music and everything? Mobile. Right now, if you have an iPhone, you can listen. There's an app that you can get in WNCW. Am I correct?
And I think more than just the iPhone.
Tiny little Joe.
Any
smartphone
that
shows up on there, you can play with.
So what people, what a lot of people are predicting is that people, it's not that they don't. They're not going to listen to radio. It's that they want to have radio in a different way. Say they're not in their car. They want it on their mobile phone. I don't know why that is. I personally don't listen to music on my phone yet, but I do have the app for Pandora. I've got a BlackBerry, and they just introduced an app for Rhapsody for BlackBerries. They've had it for iPhone now. So the point being, when you have apps for terrestrial radio available for digital mobile smartphones, that might be the turning point, because wouldn't it be a beautiful thing to be driving cross country and just turn on your phone and hear WNCW 1,000 miles away and not even have to turn on a computer to go to WNCW.org?
I mean, I've done it while touring all over the country. Listen to WNCW, listen to all kinds of
there
things.
There
you
go. You
know? I think what a lot of it's to do in that particular context is about variety. I personally am a big fan of internet radio. I listen to a lot of different stuff. I love the SOMA stations that come out of San Francisco. So when I'm not listening to WNCW, then I'm going and looking for all kinds of crazy things. One of my favorite things to do is fire up the old Winamp on my PC and look through the literally 10,000 crazy radio stations they have from all over the world and just dial into something like that. So that's like infinite variety. And if that's available to me in a mobile setting to where I'm riding down the road and I can call up the smooth jazz station in Paris, or, you know, the great classic jazz station in New York or something like that, that's a really amazing thing, and that will last for a long time.
That's probably what we're moving towards, I think, if the mobile smartphone revolution continues on the same trajectory it is already.
One of the interesting things, I think, is that we're all sitting here talking on the radio about the radio, but we're not talking about the other aspect, which is the, not just the DJs, but the people that have radio shows on the radio. I'm from Chicago, and we had Larry Lujack, who's one of the original people to DJs to turn morning radio on its ear and do animal stories and stuff like that.
Oh,
he
and
was
people
on WLS.
Get very attached. I mean, they take possession of these shows. Yeah,
I mean,
they're
very
loyal.
These are you know, some of these people are more well known than people on local television. And they have like what, Bob and Tom in the Morning? They're a national now, right?
Well, Sound Opinion out of Chicago. Jim DeRogatis, you know, they've taken that show on the road, literally.
Well, World Cafe right here on WNCW. Yeah. I mean, David Dye is known internationally, not only just because it's got good music, but he's got a charismatic personality, a great radio voice, doesn't hurt either, you know.
Exactly. And so, yeah, you have all these people that are essentially, they're not just spinning the tunes, but they're also saying, hey, this is why we're playing this today, because this is happening. Michael Jackson died. You know, a lot of people found out about that on the radio.
I listened to his funeral on the radio.
Yeah. So, I mean, aside from the fact that it has more of a timeliness than listening to your iPod or whatever, you know, you miss some of that timely radio news, music news. But there's also those personalities that are developed on the radio because, face it, none of us are cute enough to be on TV.
Well, I'm waiting for a Howard Stern app for my BlackBerry.
Well, in general, I think I would like to postulate that for radio in general, which is very different from a WNCW, I think that ultimately it's going to slide off in popularity if it continues on the same trajectory. It's going to have to evolve one way or the other.
Absolutely.
But it has.
And it has. But some of the things that may help it along would be things like video, like putting things up on YouTube, for example. For here at WNCW, we're more like what you might call boutique radio. You know, we don't have any listenership compared to, say, commercial radio stations. Literally, we've got somewhere, 80,000 listeners total, something like that, but they're motivated. You know, this is what commercial radio doesn't have. You know, like, these people actually give us money and keep us alive.
They trust you.
And they trust, and so that is a very different thing.
And they're the most intelligent segment of the population.
So in one way,
but of course.
So in that respect, you know, you can see things continuing more easily because it's a niche, and you don't need as many people to survive. But even here, I would say that we will probably be doing more, and we already are. We're doing more on social media, for example, and we've got a lot of our Studio B sessions up on YouTube, and you can see those on our front page at wncw.org. But in general, in the long term, I think this Edison research forecast is looking a little cloudy.
Well, call it a canary in a coal mine moment, that astute radio programmers and people in the radio industry would do well to heed and, as you say, start adopting new things to kind of further their existing model and modify it as changes are needed.
What do you think? Email us whatitis@wncw.org. Your thoughts on radio's future. We look forward to highlighting your comments on our live recap of the show Friday morning here on listener-powered radio. I'm Joe Kendrick, joined by Barbie Angel, Jay Sanders, and Fred Mills. Until next time.